Hello, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome again to the Leaders Coaching for the Bible study series Different, Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, looking at what he had to say. This is looking at study number 3, which is entitled Preeminently and Supremely Different, and it's based on Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, which says something like this. In fact, it says this: He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So that's the text that we're going to be looking at through this. And as the group leader, I always encourage you to start the night with some kind of refreshments, however that might be. It might be cold drink, hot drink, a snack, a cake, or whatever it is. It just sets a tone of hospitality. And that's a really key thing to setting the mood and the tone for the Bible study. All right. I would also encourage you, once you've done that, then move into the space where you're going to conduct the study. It might simply mean that you were standing, now you're sitting around a dining table, or it could mean that you move from, say, the dining room or the kitchen into maybe a lounge room or a rumpus room or something like that. So in other words, there's a spatial difference to what you're doing. Then I would suggest, as group leader, you conduct some kind of icebreaker, or you might want to do this, which is ask for one thing you're thankful for and one thing you would like prayer for. Now, personally, my personality is to go to that second one. Some people like icebreakers, and they ask some really weird questions, like if you were to be either a cat or a dog, which one and why? And look, it bears no consequence for eternity. It's just an interesting icebreaker question. That's all it is. And it helps people to have a bit of a laugh and to get to know each other. Having done that, I would suggest if you do ask for prayer requests, that you make note of those, and at the end of the night, you close the night in prayer. The first paragraph, again, involve as many people as you can. You might want to, I'm a great advocate in going around the room generally. What that means is I might invite the person immediately on my left or somewhere, I might pick someone random just to read the first paragraph, and then I'll choose the person on their left, and we'll just go around the room. So the person, it creates a predictability in the small group, so that everyone knows, oh, we picked them. Okay, I'm on their left. I'm going to be next. So what that looks like is if there's a paragraph to be read, then the next paragraph will be read by the person on their left, or the next question might be on their left. You know, they might read that. So the first paragraph says this: The false teachers who had been trying to sway the Colossians away from the gospel were known as Gnostics. The G is silent in English. They claimed that Jesus was not much more than a holy man, and that with the right kind of secret knowledge, the Greek word for knowledge is gnosis, and physical deprivations, well, some big words here, but that simply means depriving oneself of physical pleasures, such as eating, any person could attain to the same level of enlightenment as Jesus. Question one, again, invite someone to read this and to share the scripture. In what way does Paul state that Jesus was no mere holy man in what he wrote in Colossians 1:15? So we looked at that, well, I read that out just a moment ago, but let me remind you what that says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So right there, that tells us that there is something quite unique about Christ. Now, we're going to pick up on that expression firstborn. So let's jump to that now. That firstly, Paul is stating Jesus was no mere man. He was the God-man. He was God in the flesh. Now, let's have a look at that expression firstborn, because as we state in question two, Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Colossians 1:15 teaches that Christ was the first of Jehovah's creations. But how does Colossians 1:18, which, by the way, introduces a principle for interpreting Scripture, and in fact, it highlights two principles for interpreting Scripture. One is never take a verse of Scripture to contradict the overall message of Scripture. And the first one is always use Scripture to interpret Scripture. So let's do both of those right now. So Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Colossians 1:15 teaches that Christ was the firstborn of Jehovah's creations. And by the way, they call Yahweh Jehovah, which is another story altogether. We won't go into that right now. But how does Colossians 1:18 qualify what the term firstborn is referring to? And how does this refute what Jehovah's Witnesses teach about Christ? So Colossians 1:18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." So let's consider that. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So that expression firstborn relates to him being the first to be resurrected. Think about it. All the people that Jesus raised from the dead died. They died again. But when Jesus was resurrected, he never died again. He conquered death. So he's the firstborn, it's a poetic expression, if you will, of being resurrected. He was the first to be resurrected in that resurrected state. So that's how we know that what Jehovah's Witnesses teach is false. It's a false slant on that verse, added to the fact that there are other scriptures which also use that expression, firstborn, to also identify Christ as the firstborn to rise from the dead. Question 3. According to Colossians 1:16, which says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Right. According to that verse, what is Christ's relationship to the physical world? Now, you factor in that these Gnostics were teaching that the physical world was evil, that human flesh, like our bodies, were essentially evil. And so we had to punish our bodies, we had to deprive our bodies, and that everything material was actually inherently evil. It's actually grounded in a Greek pagan myth that Zeus made human beings from essentially a good spirit and a bad spirit, and the bad spirit became essentially our flesh and the material world, and the good spirit became, you know, the spirit within man. And so that's kind of where it comes from. So note also Hebrews 3:3 for a similar point. Now Hebrews 3:3 says this: "For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself." So let's come back to Colossians 1:16. "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him." In other words, Paul is saying it's not evil. The physical material world is not evil. Christ created it to give him glory. This is not evil. Our bodies, our physical flesh, the fact that we're comprised of physicality in itself is not evil. Our sinful nature is, but not our bodies, not the physical component of us. So this is directly countering the false teaching by the Gnostics. Question 4, how does Colossians 1:17 demonstrate that Jesus was not a created being? Well, let's have a look. Colossians 1:17 says this: "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Now, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, which is called the New World Translation, inserts one word in here, and it puts it in square brackets because they know this is not in the original, but they're trying to suggest, well, of course it's implied, and that is this, that they put in the word "other" to read this: "He is before all other things." Because the reason they have to put that in there is because this verse states that Jesus is the uncreated creator of all things. Now, if you get that, it completely undermines Jehovah's Witness teaching that Jesus was the first of God's creation. He himself is a created being. And this is saying, he's the uncreated creator. All right, far from Christ being removed from the physical realm, which the Gnostics considered to be tainted with evil, which is why they considered Jesus never had any contact with the physical world, Paul states very clearly that it was Christ who actually created the physical realm. And in fact, it was Christ who held together the material world. While the Gnostics were trying to draw people away from the church, what case does the Apostle Paul make in Colossians 1:18 that gives a reason why every believer should be connected to the church? So Colossians 1:18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." So notice that he's the head of the body, the church. So if you're going to be connected to Christ, you will be connected to his body, the church. That's the point. So when people say, "I love Jesus, but I just haven't got any time for the church," really what they are saying is nonsense. You can't love Jesus and not love the church. It's just not possible. So when we are connected to Christ, by default, we are connected to his body, the church. That's the point there. So let's have a look now at question six, which is an application question. What do we learn from Colossians 1:19 about what the early church believed about Christ? And it says this: "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." What the early church believed about Christ was that he was God in the flesh. The Gnostics were teaching that salvation was a matter of devout human effort. And no, it's not. Salvation is by grace alone. So how does Colossians 1:20 reveal that the Gnostics were wrong about salvation? It says this: "And through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." In other words, our salvation is not because of our works, our effort, or any effort we can contribute to it. It is exclusively the result of Christ on the cross, his work on the cross, his blood shed on our behalf. That's what brings salvation. All right, break out those prayer points that you had at the start of the meeting. Remind the group of what they were. Go around the room, pray for each of the prayer points from the group, and then you as group leader, close in prayer, mopping up any that may have been left. God bless you, and I'll see you for our next Leaders Audio, which is study number 4, which is Starkly Different Values.